my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole, my sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down, and glory from above into God's family divine, justified fully through Calvary's love. Oh, what a standing is mine! And the transaction so quickly was made, when as a sinner I came, took up the offer of grace. He saved me, oh, praise his dear name. Heaven came down, and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole, my sins were washed away, the
Savior day by day. And close is our relation, firm is its foundation, so on this solid rock I'll stay.
I'm standing on the rock,
on the rock,
on the rock of ages, safe from every storm,
from all the storms.
Didn't they do a good job?
Praise the Lord.
We had to get a bus and hit the road. We'd mentioned we're celebrating Grandparents Day today, and good to have each one. But we want to recognize some grandparents, different ones, but this time we want to recognize our oldest grandparent today. Oldest grandparent. Do we have any older than 85? I think Miss Beulah's got it, don't she? Miss Beulah. Hey. Amen. Amen. Do we have any grandparents younger than 50? We won't recognize our youngest grandparent. Any grandparents younger than 50? Okay. That's, I only see one, Miss Becky. A grandparent with the most children and great-grandchildren present today. I guess that grandchildren. Do we have a mother with five or more children present today? Grandchildren. I think probably Miss Beulah's got this one too, don't she? All the Beulah's grandchildren stand up. Yeah. One, two, three, four, five, six. Amen. Amen. All right. We want to not leave anyone out. We want to recognize all of our grandparents today. If you're a grandparent, would you stand? All of our grandparents. Amen. 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 You may be seated. Have your Bibles today, and you want to turn with me to Genesis chapter 48. A few years ago, there was a cartoon that showed a little child stumbling over some stones in the road. And with a look of surprise on her face, asked the grandmother, said, "Grandma, don't you watch where I'm going?" And today, as we look, and I'm thinking about Grandparents' Day, and Philippians 2:4 says, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." And You know, that is a job of the grandparents, but it's really a job of all of us that we have to watch for one another, don't we? And we got to watch over folks. And there was a guy, every time a young man went to visit his friend at his friend's house, his friend's grandmother was reading the Bible. And he asked him finally one day, he said, "Why is she always reading the Bible? Why does she read it so much?" And he said, "I really don't know, but I think she's cramming for finals." And as we look, and if you would stand with me, I want to read, and I'm probably going to read to do it justice, this whole chapter. It's a few verses, but I feel like I ought to read the whole passage. And Genesis 48, starting at verse 1, "And it came to pass after these things that one told Joseph, 'Behold, thy father is sick,' and he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And one told Jacob and said, 'Behold, thy son Joseph cometh unto thee,' and Israel strengthened himself and sat upon the bed. Jacob said unto Joseph, 'God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me, and said unto me, Behold, I will make thee fruitful and multiply thee, and I will make thee of thee a multitude of people, and will give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession. And now thy two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt, before I came unto thee into Egypt, are mine. As Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine. And thy issue, which thou begattest after them, shall be thine, and shall be called after the name of their brethren in their inheritance. As for me, when I came from Padan, Rachel died by me in the land of Canaan in the way, when yet there was but a little way to come unto Ephrath, and I buried her there in the way of Ephrath, the same is Bethlehem. And Israel beheld Joseph's sons and said, Who are these? And Joseph said unto his father, They are my sons, whom God hath given me in this place. And he said, Bring them, I pray thee, unto me, and I will bless them. Now the eyes of Israel were dim for age, so that he could not see, and brought them near unto him, and he kissed them and embraced them. And Israel said unto Joseph, I had not thought to see thy face, and lo, God has showed me also thy seed. Joseph brought them from between his knees, and he bowed himself with his face to the earth. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand toward Israel's left, and Manasseh in his left toward Israel's right, and brought them near unto him. And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding the hand wittingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads, and let my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. And when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, it displeased him. And he held up his father's hand to remove it, and Ephraim's head unto Manasseh's head. And Joseph said unto his father, Not so, my father, for this is the firstborn. Put thy right hand upon his head. And his father refused and said, I know it, my son, I know it. He also shall become a people. He also shall be great, but truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations. And he blessed them that day, saying, In thee shall Israel bless, saying, God make thee as Ephraim and Manasseh. And he set Ephraim before Manasseh. And Israel said unto Joseph, Behold, I die, but God shall be with you and bring you again unto the land of your fathers. Moreover, I have given to thee one portion above thy brethren, which I took out of the hand of the Amorite with my sword and with my bow.
Father, we come to you again and thank you again for your day. And Lord, we just ask you to add your blessings to this reading of your word. Father, pray you'll touch the old preacher boy. God, that you'd have your way. Bless in this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In this passage that we've come, and of course we all know the story that Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery, and he was sold into Potiphar's house, and then he wound up in prison, and then he's wound up number two in all of Egypt. And God had placed him there to save Israel. Now it's come time for Jacob to pass away, and he is blessed, and we want to look over this today, and want to look at four important things that Jacob gave his grandsons. And you know that there's been a lot of children and a lot of grandkids. I think it's Aaron Wilburn that's got a song that has said that I talked about all the stories of the Bible and said, and I saw David fight Goliath, and I saw the Hebrew children out of the fiery furnace and went through the whole Red Sea, saw the parting of the Red Sea from Grandma's rocking chair. And what a blessing. I love that song so much, but what a truth that's in that. And so often the grandparents is one that I remember my grandmother, my mom's mama. Wow, what a lady she was. And aren't you glad that we've got some of those folks that we can go back to and we can look to and we can say, boy, I don't know how many times I've heard people talk about their grandmother and talk about certain folks that if they don't make it to hope heaven, ain't no need for any of us to try. Amen. What a blessing it is to be able to have someone to say that about you. And as this message today, I want to preach to the parents and the grandparents and every one of us that it ought to help us and encourage us today. And I want to tell you something, though. There was a three-year-old boy who opened his birthday present from his grandmother, and he discovered a water pistol in it. He squealed with delight and ran to the nearest faucet to fill it up. The dad wasn't as pleased as the child was, and he told Grandma, he turned to her and said, I'm surprised that you bought that. Don't you remember how we used to drive you crazy with water guns? And his mom smiled and replied, oh, yes, I remember. I think they call that revenge, don't they? But I want to look at some things that Jacob shared with his grandsons. First of all, in verse 3, that we see that he shared his testimony with his grandsons. He shared here in verse 3, and the passage, it comes out, and I printed it out, but I'll not go read it all, but in Genesis 28, starting at verse 10, how that Jacob had been in Beersheba. And he saw, of course we know of Jacob's ladder, and he saw the angels coming, and he made a commitment to the Lord right then. And he said, Lord, that if you will bless me, I'll return and give you a tenth. And he did that later on of everything that happened. But he made a commitment unto the Lord. See, he shared his testimony with his grandsons. Boy, I tell you, with your sons, your grandsons, your grandkids, your children, there's nothing any more important than your family knowing your testimony. Does all of your family, does your nieces and nephews and your kids and your grandkids, does everyone know your testimony? Have you shared with them? Have you shared what God has brought you out of? Have you shared the things? If you've got a testimony, it's important that our families know where we stand. Preacher Cutshaw used to say all the time, it's important that you have a good testimony. Your family knows it when it comes time to die. That it gives your family peace and gives them something to strive for. And see, Jacob here had a testimony, a tremendous testimony. And he was sure that his grandkids knowed it. See, children love to hear these stories over and over. They don't get old. Have you ever noticed how many times will they bring you the same book night after night after night? Amen. I see some of you grinning. They'll bring you the same book. They love that. They don't. It don't get old. A good story does not get old. Rhonda always laughed at me. I could watch the same movie three or four times. She said, "Once you've seen it, that's it." I said, "I know life just as much the next time as I did the first time." But kids are like, I guess that's the kid in me. But the kids are like that. And tell them your testimonies. Tell them what God's done for you. And put God high on a pedestal. Let them know where He stands in your life and what He means to you. Because when they get older, that's what they're going to remember. They're going to remember where you stand. They're going to remember where your heart is. They're going to remember what you're devoted to. So share your testimony. The second thing is in verse 3 also, he told the boys who he knew God to be. I like this. He said here, "And Jacob said unto Joseph, God Almighty appeared unto me." El Shaddai, the Almighty God, the God of the universe, all-powerful, all-knowing. He is God. He's not just somebody else. He's not a figment of anybody's imagination. I know Him. I know Him personally. And He's El Shaddai. He is God Almighty. Praise the Lord. See, it's important that we tell our grandkids who Jesus is. It's important that they understand that He's not just a byword, that He's not just a good man, that He is not just a teacher. He was not just someone, He's not just a popular person, that He is God Himself. That He is the only means of salvation. He is the only one. He left the splendors of heaven and came down to earth to die for our sins. And we can never make heaven our home without Jesus as our Savior. It's important that we let people know who Jesus is. Who He is to us and how important. See, this world has many gods. People, there's a lot of gods, and you may say, "Well, preacher, I differ with you," but just look around where your devotion is. That's people's gods. There's a lot of idols. There's a lot of gods. And it's important. They're not going to hear it many other places. It's important at the home we start and they know that Jesus is the God. Not a byword. Not a cuss word. But He is the Word, the living Word. Number three is Jacob told the boys his fourfold promise of God in their family in verse 4. And he said unto me, "Behold, I will make thee fruitful, multiply thee, and I will make thee of a multitude of people, and will give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession." See, God had blessed Jacob. Has God blessed us? We're a blessed people, aren't we? We have been so blessed. And see, it's we ought to be sure that we elaborate on how blessed we are of God. Instead of patting ourselves on the back and say, "Boy, look what I've done. Look at the hard work I've done. Look how I have prospered. Look how it's important that we say, look what God's done for me. Look at the long life that I have. That's because of God's blessings. The financial blessings that I have and the home that we have, that's because of God done that. That's because that He has blessed me and give me abundantly more than I deserve, and I give Him all the credit. See, without Him, we would have nothing. Without Him, we would be nothing. Without Him, we would not have the next breath. Everything, He owns it all. Everything that we have is a gift from God. It's important that we tell our kids and grandkids that they would know . See, the world offers so much. It's important that we share who God is and His blessings. And the fourth one is Jacob had made sure to tell the boys about their grandmother. Rachel. He was careful to honor her with her walk with the Lord. You know, everybody knew where Jacob was with the Lord, and everybody knew his walk, and he was the leader of the family. But he said, brought up his wonderful wife that he loved, and he drove home the point. She trusted the Lord too. She depended upon the Lord too. And Grandma walked with God just the same as Granddaddy did. Boy, I tell you, what a blessing it is that two will walk together. Two would trust the Lord together. You'll never have a better home than two following the Lord. When I give counsel to young couples, and, well, and older couples too, but when I give counsel to couples that's being married, I've got on the back of a paper that I use, and I got a triangle drawn. And I have God at the top of it, and the husband on one side and the wife on the other. And I always ask the question, what happens to this couple when they get closer to the Lord? They get closer together. And the closer relationship that we have with the Lord, the closer relationship you'll have with your spouse. The closer relationship you'll have with your family. The more concern the things of God. See, and one thing that jumped out at me at this passage also, he didn't just bless these two grandsons, he actually adopted them as sons. You remember when they're dividing up the tribes? There's the half tribe of Manasseh and the half tribe of Ephraim. They became inheritances of Jacob. They became sons of Jacob. He adopted them into the family. They was not just grandsons. They was the same as the rest of his boys. Wow. You know, when we are kids and grandkids, it's good that if we can leave them financially set. It's good that if we can leave them lands. It's good that if we have a bunch of things to leave them. But I'm going to tell you something that you can leave far greater than anything that you ever put your hands on is a good testimony and the heritage of the Christian heritage and the Christian walk of a godly man and woman. That's the best thing you'll ever leave a child. Now all this other stuff really helps. And if you got that, leave it too, but be sure you leave a godly heritage. Be sure, because that is what's going to get them through the hardships. Proverbs 13:22 says, a man leaveth an inheritance for his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. In Proverbs 17:6, the Bible says, children's children are grown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. The Bible says, he put his hand on them and blessed them. I remember time after time after time. I can never tell you, no way I could ever tell you the number of times I'd be ready to going to leave the house and going out, I don't know, different. Yeah, I don't care what time of day it was. So many times my mom would say, come over here and let me pray for you. She'd get me over and put her hands on me and pray, and I'd go on. But I tell you, I remember those times. I remember those prayers. I remember how important it was and how important it is to me now that she was praying for me. And she laid her hands on me and she'd say, Lord, take care of him, and Lord, bless him. And it's okay to pray blessings upon her children and grandchildren. And Jacob here laid his hand on them and blessed them and asked God to multiply and take care of them. And boy, I tell you what, you'll not leave any greater of a testimony than taking your grandkids and putting your hand upon them and praying over them. You'll be amazed. Pray for them. Pray for them often. It's hard to say no to someone when they say, come here and let me pray for you. I mean, it's, you know, a lot of times we might think, here we go again. I know a lot of times I think, Mom, I got to go. You ain't going nowhere till I pray over you. And what a blessing that that is. She probably prayed me out of a lot of things and kept a lot of things, you know, from happening. And the Lord has just, and I just had a note, but the Lord is just stirring me. Pray with your kids. Pray with your grandkids. Lay your hands on them. Prayer. And let them, you know, I learned to pray from listening to my mama. That's where I pray a lot like she did. Because I heard her so much. And I used to think that's a bad thing. But man, what a blessing. What a heritage, a Christian heritage she left me. She could get a hold of God. And I learned at listening to her and some godly people in the church that I grew up in. And I remember it being even at Limestone when I was a little older. I remember the name of Robert Arwood. I'm going to tell you what. When he got down to pray, Rhonda could tell you how all of heaven took silence and took notice. And you could tell that God come down and listened and answered his prayers. They said he had a rock out down in the woods down from his house. And he'd get down off in there in the woods and pray, and it would echo down through those hollers, and everybody knowed when Brother Robert went to pray. But I'm going to tell you what, when you keep coming in the house of God and got down on his knees and prayed, heaven took notice. I'm going to tell you, you could tell the difference. It wasn't just a prayer that he was requoting. He was talking to God. He was talking to his best friend. He was talking to his Savior, talking to the Lord of his salvation. And this morning, does your children and your grandchildren ever get to hear you pray like that? Do they get to hear you talk to God that you're trusting? To talk to the one, like the boy come in and he said, that, why is your grandma always reading the Bible? Do they know? Do they catch you reading the Bible much? Boy, that ought to be something they catch you doing quite often. I remember a friend of mine, Brother Steve just said, I think he's coming to work with him, Gary Gentry, great friend, good preacher buddy of mine. He said that he'd get up, his daddy worked at Eastman, and he'd get up to go to school, and his dad had to leave 5 o'clock or something real early. But he said, what a testimony every morning when he went into the kitchen. His daddy's Bible was laid spread out over the kitchen table where he'd been there reading it before he went to work. Woo! He's older than 50. He's my age, a year or two older than me. He's still, I guarantee you today, he could still tell you the same thing. I remember him saying that. What are the legacy are we leaving? What are they seeing? Chances are they're going to follow suit. Chances are they're going to follow the example that we give them. Let me give you a grandparent's poem. Grandmas and grandpas are everything nice, like presents and candy and raspberry ice. Chocolate fudge sundaes with cherries on top and popcorn and peanuts and grape soda pop. In winter or summer, in rain or in sun, grandmas and grandpas are wonderful fun. Let me give you this one, and then we'll close. Grandparents' advice to parents. Don't pamper the baby. Don't run to each cry. Don't rock the new infant. Don't lullaby. Don't coddle or cradle. That's all there is to do. Don't spoil that sweet baby. Let us grandparents do it. Amen. Grandparents let things go by that they didn't when they was parents, don't they? But I want, as we close this morning, I want to ask you, are you leaving a legacy? Are you leaving an example? Does your kids and grandkids know your testimony? Do they hear you pray? Do they catch you reading the Bible? Do they know your testimony? Do they know beyond a shadow of a doubt where you stand with the Lord? Or could we work and do better in those areas? And this invitation I want to give this morning, and I want to extend it. You may be here and never been saved. You may have never called upon the Lord. This morning would be a good morning. You may be here and you may say, well, preacher, I'm saved, and maybe I could do a little better in some of these areas. The altar's wide open. But you may be here and you may say, wow, my kids are facing a lot. They're in a dangerous time. It's a lot worse than it used to be. You may just want to come and pray for them this morning. They could sure use our prayers in this area. Let's pray. Father, we come to you again, and we're so thankful to be able to call upon you. I'm so thankful, Father, to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are the God of our salvation. You're the only hope that we have. You're the only thing that we can trust in. You're the only thing that we know for sure. Your word is true. There's no falsehood about you or your word. And Father, I pray that you would help us today and help us to be the examples for our kids and grandkids and nieces and nephews and neighbors and the folks around. Father, that you would touch us today and encourage us to be everything that you want us to be. Father, I ask you today for your touch, your guidance. I pray for your blessing to be upon this time of invitation. Lord, have your way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
I'll stand and turn the face down tonight.
Will you come this morning? Will you come?